The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. MyBills.ie. Help save time with bill payment online for free. Unpost. Do more. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. You can pay over 100 different bills free at the post office. Unpost. Do more.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, Oliver Tatton was on the show a few weeks ago talking about his OneBigSwitch.ie. Now, one of the headlines that I read out this morning was about profits at the ESB. ESB make 415 million profit after hiking prices by 8%. So this could be consumer fights back, so to speak. It's the OneBigSwitch.ie, where I'm sure you know the aim is to negotiate cheaper gas and electricity bills for Irish consumers. And to do that, the campaign needed to attract at least 20,000 Irish customers. Now, the current total of Irish consumers who've signed up to the campaign is around 34,000 at the moment. So they've got well over the number of people they needed. And even if you sign up, it doesn't mean that you have to take the offer, and it doesn't mean that you have to switch provider if you don't want to. So it certainly seems like a win-win. The idea is if you've got a big pool of people, you can go in and bargain because it's a serious amount of money. So, but there is a time limit on it, and this weekend is the deadline for people interested in signing up to the campaign. So if you're interested, you log on and sign up before midnight tomorrow. That's the 16th of March, and the website address is www.onebigswitch.ie. Now, there's another big event happening in O'Connell Street in Dublin, and it's to do with, I suppose, it's still the most famous shop in the whole of Ireland, and that's Cleary's in O'Connell Street, and people were very worried, you know, that it would close down or things would go bad. They had their own problems, not for the first time, apparently, in its history. Now, Pat Liddy, you're a Dublin historian. Tell me first, what is being celebrated and how it's being celebrated?
Good afternoon, Marion.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, well, this is a big day. It's not just for Cleary's. In a sense, it's for O'Connell Street because I guess Cleary's is the flagship, always has been, for a long number of years in O'Connell Street. And today they're opening their Heritage Gallery. It's had such a fascinating history, and anyone can come into the store. It's a free entry, by the way. Anyone can come into the store, up onto the second floor, into the Heritage Gallery, and look at a vast and wonderful collection of old photographs, drawings, maps, even artefacts in their Heritage Gallery, just outlining this almost exotic history of Cleary's.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first of his kind built, I gather, in Europe, like a proper department store, purpose built.
Yeah, it's incredible to believe that just a handful of years after the Irish Great Famine, that you had people who were innovative enough to set up what actually was the first purpose built department store in Europe. And as a purpose built department store, it's probably now the oldest one in the world. There was one open 7 years earlier in New York City, but doesn't trade as such anymore. So it has a world recognition in a sense.
And I gather it was destroyed during the 1916 Rising, and of course it was very relevant during the lockout.
Oh, yeah. And the irony is this building was at that stage owned by William Martin Murphy.
Yeah.
Who was the, if you like, the protagonist of the 1913 lockout. And James Larkin appeared in the Imperial Hotel, which occupied two floors then above Cleary's. He appeared in the balcony. So there you have Jim Larkin, the avowed enemy of William Martin Murphy, appearing in the balcony of a place owned by his enemy.
Yeah.
But he didn't last very long. He was swept away.
I could well believe it. Now, you know, we had that image that Cleary's was, it was that it had always been a success, but it hadn't.
No, it's had to face bankruptcy a few times, mainly to do, I think, with the state of the country at the time. You have these cycles in the economy. And in the late 1880s, the first owners went into liquidation due to the land wars and the turndown in the economy. And then it was bought by the man whose name is carried on the store, Michael Cleary. He, with William Martin Murphy's financial help, opened here in the 1880s, and it was then Cleary's. And that was fine until the economic war with England in the 1930s and the downturn again. And that store under Cleary went into liquidation, and it was bought by the one and only Dennis Guiney in 1940.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, modern day people would associate it very much with Dennis Guiney's name. The other thing that people associated with, people within Dublin and I suspect outside of Dublin as well,
yeah,
is the clock, meeting under Cleary's clock, romances begin at, etc.
Oh, they totally did. You had, this was before mobile phones, Marion, and you would patiently wait for as long as it took till your partner turned up. And then a few months later, you could repair to the other clock on O'Connell Street, which was the Happy Ring House. It was all about clocks.
That's right.
And I'm told Dennis Guiney also made sure when Kerry were playing in Dublin that you could get spare tickets under the clock as well.
For
he was a Kerry man.
Crow Park, yeah.
For Crow Park, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, it's a great and interesting and rich history. And that the Heritage Gallery opens, when is it
today,
open? Today.
It's now actually open. Anyone can come in today during the opening hours and indeed from this point onwards onto the second floor. And take your time. It's actually a treasure trove, and it's also memory lane for so many people that love Cleary's.
Right. OK, so that's for Dubliners and anybody visiting Dublin at the moment. And Pat Liddy, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
1850 715 150.
Sunday with Miriam. Coming up on this week's show, Irish screen and stage legend, comedian and actor Neil Thobeen, as he reflects on six decades of entertaining the nation and on life, love, loss and regrets.
It was great, but at the same time, I would probably rather have been doing serious roles.
And fresh from scooping the Meteor Choice Music Prize, Inner City Dublin Band, ORB, will perform That Song of the Year.
Sunday with Miriam, Sundays from 10 a.m. on RTE Radio 1.
Have you had your credit facilities reduced, refused, or withdrawn? If you're a viable sole trader, farm owner, or small business facing a credit decision you feel is unjustified, the Credit Review Office is here to help. We independently review decisions made by NAMA banks on credit facilities of up to €3 million. If your review is successful, your bank will be required to grant your request or explain to us why not. Contact the Credit Review Office today. Call 1850 211 789 or visit creditreview.ie.
Are you a Focus or Corolla driver looking to buy a new car in 2014? Well, before you buy, take a long, hard look at the Kia Ceed range. Take a look at the sporty three-door, the stylish five-door, or the spacious sports wagon. There's one to suit everyone. Take a look at the award-winning design and superb engineering. Take a look at the industry-leading 7-year warranty. In fact, before you buy a new car, it pays to take a look at Kia. For details on the Kia Ceed range, visit kia.com, home of the 7-year warranty.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, this could put the longing on you. You know, we all know how popular the Camino is in northern Spain, and certainly has become in the past few years. Well, there are many longer and very beautiful walks on our own doorstep. And with longer days and warmer weather approaching, I'm joined by walking enthusiasts. Ava Walsh from UCC, Harry McGee from the Irish Times, and Mary Mulvihill from your own business, essentially. And they are here to tell us about their favourite walks. Now, thanks be to goodness, we've a great spread around the country. And we've a great variety, some that are family friendly and some that are like for hardier types. Where did you pick? I'll start with you, Harry.
Well,
For once, not talking about politics.
Well, almost off a political cast, I kind of picked the Mallon M50 constituency in the Euro elections. So my walks are along the west coast, Galway, Mayo and Donegal. And they range from the very easy to the very strenuous. And one of the walks is for people who've got a lot of experience with mountaineering. But some of the other ones are for easy walks. So in County Galway, for example, there's Diamond Hill, which stands to the west of the 12 Bends. It's a mountain that stands in glorious isolation. It's not very high. It's only about 450 metres.
Right.
And it towers above Letterfrack between Clifton and Leenane. It's a beautiful...
beautiful part of the world.
Gorgeous, and it's an aesthetically beautiful mountain, and it's part of the Connemara National Park. And what they've done is they have done something very similar to what has been done in Wicklow. They've made a kind of a man-made trail to the peak of it. It's kind of slightly controversial, but what it does do, because I've seen in Kerry, for example, if you go up Curran Tuil, the erosion on Curran Tuil is just terrible in places. So what they've done is that they've made a I say wooden, they're like railway sleepers.
Oh, yeah, I know. I actually think they're grand, and a path, I have to say.
And it goes all the way to the summit. So it makes it a much easier challenge. It's a wonderful walk for
long?
A family. It takes about an hour and a quarter, I think.
All right.
And it's nice. It's only 450 metres. But you still feel that you're climbing. And you once you get to the peak, you get a 360-degree view of the west coast, the islands, Inishbofin.
And what are you walking? You're walking kind of bog?
No, you're walking on a trail.
On a trail.
So yeah. You wouldn't even need to have mountain boots. So it's a wonderful walk.
And where does that start?
It starts near Letterfrack, in the National Park in Letterfrack.
Right.
And it's about 80 kilometres from Galway, actually, to the west of Galway. And then, by contrast, the classic horseshoe walk in the 12 Bends is one called the Glencoen Horseshoe. And it's only for people who've got a lot of experience in mountaineering. But if you do like mountaineering and hill walking, it's the most amazing walk to do. It's one of the classic horseshoe walks in Ireland. And you go out past Mam Cross, halfway between Mam Cross and Clifton, just near the turnoff for Roundstone. You turn into the Glencoen Valley, which is a very remote valley. Mm. And you see the horseshoe there in front of you, the sheer rise of the 12 Bends as they come. And you start off, you can go left or right, but I prefer to start on the right on Ben Derry Clare. It's a very steep climb to the top of it. But once you're on top, you're right on top. So you're walking along the summits and it's quite undulating. It's up and down. It's quite stony. Again, for experienced mountaineers only, you really would have had to have experience before you do it. But for those who have done a lot of hill walking and are comfortable and experienced and know how to use a map and compass and know how to plan a route and know how to keep a weather eye, it's an amazing walk to do.
How long?
It takes about, realistically, it'll take you 9 hours from beginning to end.
Right,
and that's kind of having a stop, having a break, and that's having all of your party in a relatively good state of fitness.
Right. At a fair lick is what you're really saying to me.
At a fairish lick, yeah. You wouldn't be ambling. It wouldn't be like a school kid going to school with the with the school bag trailing behind you. You'd be kind of going at a military pace, maybe slightly.
Right. What's the joy? What is it about it?
Well, there's a very famous Polish mountaineer whose name escapes me now, but he was of a very religious caste, and he said whenever he was in church, he thought about when he should be thinking about God, he was thinking about the mountains. But whenever he was in the mountains, he always thought about God. I think there's something that is ethereal, that's otherworldly. When you're just surrounded by nature, when you have these extraordinary views, the satisfaction, it's because it's strenuous and there is work involved.
Yeah.
But the payoff for the work are the views and the sense that you're out in the most amazing, pure atmosphere, that you're walking through nature, that you're closer to God. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise that the early monks, when they built their anchorites, they tended to go as far away from civilization as they could and as high up as they could. Skellig Mihol and Mont Saint-Michel are very good examples of that.
Yeah.
And I think there is something that is slightly ethereal or spiritual. Almost spiritual in a kind of a holistic sense about
it. Would you go along with that, Mary?
I think the top of a mountain's a wonderful place. It really is. I wouldn't be a spiritual person myself, but there's just a great sense of achievement if you've got there under your own steam for a start, you know. And the views, to be able to look around and look down, it's just
you're
wonderful.
Nodding there, Ava.
And
I
have no desire to climb Mount Everest, but I think it must be amazing to be essentially on top of the world, you know. The views there must be great.
I think if anyone's thinking about starting, I started kind of late-ish. And I'm just a huge enthusiast. I've climbed or walked all over Ireland on the Camino, everywhere. You feel the best at the end of the day that you ever feel in your entire life. That's just as simple as that.
It's good for body and soul, and it sets you up for the week. Yeah, can't recommend it highly enough. Really.
What area did you pick?
So I picked Leinster. Now, I grew up in what my dad used to call the foothills of the Dublin Mountains.
Right.
And it was only years later I realised he was probably being ironic when he said that. But that was my playground. I grew up in North Farnham. So I've picked a few there. The thing about Wicklow is Wicklow has an awful lot of bog. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and what I like to do when I'm out is I like to explore. I like to have something of interest on a tour or on a walk. So the ones I've picked, I thought I'd pick something easy to start with for people. And it's Si Fin. It's near Kapur and it has a chambered cairn on the top, so that you can actually go in inside the cairn and shelter in it or explore it. So it'd be great for kids. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And you can get up within 30, 40 minutes. So it's a really easy one to do. So if people are starting out, it's very close to Dublin. It's basically the western flanks of Kapur. So, you know, that TV mast that yeah. people would know from
are
Dublin.
Are they signposted?
This one is up through a forestry track.
Right.
You know, and if you go online, there's lots of websites online. I'm not a great fan of apps. We were talking about this before we came in.
I thought you designed them yourself.
I make apps for my walking tours, but they would be kind of, you know, walking tours around Dublin or say the Royal Canal where you're on a towpath. Actually out on the mountain, I wouldn't be using an app at all. I'm old fashioned. I'm a compass and map person. I've brought my compass and map in with me today.
You brought a Snickers bar too.
I brought a Snickers bar too. Yeah, that's don't leave home.
And a knife.
I don't
know. That's obviously divided amongst us.
And my whistle. But yeah, I would recommend if you're starting out, get yourself a map, have a look at the websites. And if you really are starting out, then maybe start with something like the St. Kevin's Way. You know, that it's a waymarked pilgrim's trail. It's down around Glendalough and it takes you through some lovely low-lying stuff. And that will give you a feel for it. And if you like it, you can then start exploring more.
Right.
And there's a couple of other ones. While we're just talking about around Dublin,
yes.
say Hoathhead or Bray to Greystones, mm-hmm. or even the canal towpaths. You know, just walk out onto the, pick up the towpath at the Royal Canal or the Grand Canal. Just go for a walk. They're lovely, particularly for people who are having trouble with their knees, as some of my hill walking friends are. You know, it happens when you've been up and down too many mountains.
I think the Down is the one that does it. Ava, where did you pick?
Well, I've been very lucky because I live in Cork. I got Cork and Kerry. And to be honest, if you're thinking of starting, the most beautiful walk in the entire country of Ireland is the Kerry Way. I'm going to nail my colours to the mast and say, Kerry Way, it's an 8-day walk, but you can take as much or
I've
as little of it.
I've done part of it.
Which part did you do?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because it's just so beautiful. It's magical. It has its own website, kerryway.ie, and I often do just a day if I can. You can go, for example, it's very simple. You can do an entire round of Muckross itself.
Yeah.
But you're walking through the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful parts of the country. You can see in the distance the Reeks. You can see Purple Mountain, Tomies, and it has what every day's walking should have: a cafe. Half a long way the way on the lakes. Lord Brandon's cottage.
Oh, is that not cheating? Is that not being a softy?
We don't call it that. We call it necessary nourishment for the body and the soul.
So if you go to France, if you're high up in France, you go into a refuge and you think of kind of a log cabin with a couple of bearded individuals there, but you go in and you have a full menu plus a bottle of wine. So,
we're very lucky. We have Lord Brandon's cottage, which is in the middle of the lakes. It's open most of the year and you stop there for your necessary sort of refreshment. You can do 1 day, 2 days, up to 8 days. Now, if you're starting, I would recommend it. I always would go out with someone. I've sometimes done it on my own, but I think if you're beginning your experience of hiking, I would start and read with somebody else. I think it's always a good idea to have somebody with you.
And it's more sociable too.
Yes.
Because I think for me anyway, certainly being out on the hills, it's being out with friends. You know, a good day's exercise, a day out with friends, and then back down to the pub or whatever it is afterwards. You know,
afterwards. Nice, yeah. So within that, are there short days? Are there child-friendly ones? Are there family-friendly ones?
Absolutely. If you start from Tork Waterfall, you can park at the upper car park. You can go on the boardwalk up to Tork Mountain itself, which is completely family-friendly. I've seen families of kids going up, and it's boardwalk almost the whole way to the top. You're up and down in the day. You can walk to Galway's Bridge and come back. You can walk on to over to Kate Carney's cottage. Every time I'm there in the summertime on a Saturday or Sunday, I'm always meeting someone German. I've asked a few people about it and they say it's on one of their main routes and you're almost always going to meet somebody German speaking on the hike. It's completely child, like the day trips. There's a lovely day walk, which is part of the Kerry Way around Carradaniel. Down around that, around Derrynan. So you can dip in and out. I mean, that's one of the ones I picked. The other one I did was the Bear Away. And that's much less used. And that's a pity, really, because it's spectacularly beautiful. You're on the Bear Peninsula. You're surrounded by, it's like the Burren, this beautiful stone. But that had a lot less And I noticed, interesting, I couldn't find its own website, but where you can look up your hiking on the Bear Away is on irishtrails.ie, which gives you all of these hikes and breaks them down day by day.
Yeah. It's, irishtrails.ie is a great website. Mm. Yeah, really is.
There's also, in recent years, there's been a phenomenon where they've created all these looped trails where a family can go to a particular place and just do a loop trail. So they begin, and end in the same place. And one of the very good ones is near the village of Dunfanaghy in County Donegal called McSwine's Gun Loop. And it's kind of unusual in that it's a kind of, it takes you along by a coastal headland, but it's spectacular because you start off in Dunfanaghy, which is a beautiful village. You go over sand dunes and then you go across a spectacular headland, which is part of Hornhead, and come back through farmland and through a forest. So you get four very different types of terrain with four very different types of view, including amazing sea views with Torrey Island in the distance. And it's one of maybe about 30 or 40, perhaps more, of these loop trails that have been developed over the past 10 years,
which are great.
Yeah. We were slow to get started on this, weren't we? I mean, they've been
They've been doing that on the continent for, and these long distance routes on the continent for, you know,
generations.
Mm. Yeah. So, and I suppose we don't have the length in Ireland. It's very hard to get away from a road in Ireland. You're never more than a few miles from a road in Ireland.
And actually, road walking isn't pleasant. I'd have to say that. If you can walk, you know, if you have to make your way back along road, you feel it on your knees, you feel it on your feet. I do anyway.
Right.
Very
Whereas
tiring.
If you can be on turf, if you could be on the boardwalk, if you can be on the track, it's just much kinder on the body.
Yeah. Clothing?
Rain gear. Now, I'm going to say something very negative, which is I didn't want to say because I really, but all of these are really weather dependent. And when I did the Bear Away, it was in the height of the summer, so we were soaked every single day. I fell and splashed my way from Adrigal into Castletown Bear.
Never. And that was a good day.
You were happy.
I was, as a friend of mine said, it was a very exfoliating day. I looked radiant. Never go hiking anywhere in Ireland, be it the height of August. I got caught. We all got caught, a gang of us, on a beautiful hike in Enniskall. Beautiful summer's day. We were there eating the Snickers and the chocolate and lying around in the sun. An hour later, the fog came down and it got wet. Never leave. Bring your boots, bring your whatever you're walking in. Always bring a good raincoat and pull-ups, rain trousers.
And an extra layer because the season can change on a mountain. If it's spring down at the car, then the chances are it's winter on top of the mountain.
Well, the other thing is that you work up, you know.
You do, but when you stop for your sandwich,
you get cold very quickly.
So, hats, warm gloves, and a fleece.
And you can't stress that enough because people, Marion, just do not listen to what people say. Sure, I've got my pair of Docs and my jeans, I'll be grand.
Oh, yeah.
The worst things you can wear on a mountain are Docs and jeans because once the jeans get wet, they're heavy and they also get cold. So the likelihood of hypothermia. So you need to wear warm, breathable clothes and outdoor clothes. Plus, as my two colleagues were saying, plenty of rain gear. Plus a hat and gloves because in Ireland it's very... You can start off on a beautiful day and you could run into a hailstone storm or something up on the mountain. And you must remember as well that for every 100 metres you go up, the temperature decreases by 1 degree. So you have to be careful in that regard as well.
But if you've got the gear, there's nothing nicer.
Except really the gear costs, as another friend of mine says, you buy cheap, you pay twice. Like, you want a really good pair of rain trousers, you're going to have to pay up to what, 70, 80, 100?
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah.
But
you
keep them
forever.
You have them for years.
Yeah, and they'll keep you dry.
Yeah.
And your boots the same, maybe every 2-3 years.
They need to be breathable because if your condensation builds up inside, it's very uncomfortable and it kind of defeats the purpose. It's like wearing a polythene bag.
I hope we're not putting you off here.
But it's good. It's like anything else. If you have the right gear, it makes it much more comfortable and the experience is far more satisfactory.
Yeah.
And you have to bring sweets. It's essential. Chocolate sweets.
They're
essential part of the day. And your Kindle as well, actually. I find that very useful now.
Your Kindle?
Oh yeah, I've brought it a few times now.
What are you doing with the Kindle on top of the mountain?
Sitting down and having your lunch and read your book and relax and, you know, enjoy the day.
Do you walk mainly on your own?
No, I normally walk with friends. I prefer it actually. And also I suppose there's kind of a slight safety issue. Also if I was heading out on my own, I'd say where I was going. Just say, look, I'll be here, I'll be going for
that. Is safer. How about you?
I tend to walk on my own mainly. That's really because if I didn't, I wouldn't be going out. I mean, the job is kind of slightly antisocial in terms of the times that you have off, and it's very hard sometimes to find people to go with you. Now, if I'm doing proper mountaineering, I'll always go with somebody else, obviously. But if I'm doing a hill walk, even a kind of strenuous one, I'd go by myself. But I'd usually know the route very well. I'd plan it very well in advance, and I wouldn't really go on a day where it was likely to be very cloudy or very rainy.
Right.
I tend to go when the weather is good and settled.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is wonderful, I have to say. You're not putting me off at all. I think it's a great way for people to enjoy
it's
themselves.
It's wonderful. And you get to explore the countryside around you. You're learning. You're getting fresh air and exercise. And
I think, Mary, as well, one of the things that's obvious, Mary referred to it there, is that people have become far more, landowners have become far more amenable to it in recent years. The Greenway, for example, that goes from Westward to Achill through Mulrani.
It's a wow of a success.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And I think other people have looked at it and are trying to replicate the success they have there. And the Greenway is not just for cycling, it's also an amazing trail to walk. It's a beautiful walk along the old railway track from Westport. And you can stop along the way for lunch in the most wonderful places.
And you're in the most beautiful surroundings.
You're in the midst of just amazing scenery.
And you can have a shower, correct me if I'm wrong, when you come down off Carranthoul, can't you? There's facilities there, and there's
in Cronin's Cottage.
Yeah,
yes.
you can stop and change and have your food. It's lovely. Makes a big difference.
Okay, well, listen, it's the time of year for it. I mean, St. Patrick's weekend, it'd be lovely to be out and about. And those of you that do, but I think you're absolutely right about the boots and the right gear. But just before we, first of all, may I say thank you to the three of you and enjoy your weekend. We have a competition today. Two tickets to the National Theatre's award-winning production of War Horse, which is coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre March 26th to 26th of April. And the question we had is, War Horse is set during which war? And Shona Heffernan from Ballintoher in Sligo, which war?
World War One, Marion.
Well done, you.
Thank you very much.
What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Ballintoher.
Oh, you're still there. Yeah. Well, I hope you can come up, excuse me, on a night that suits you, and you'll be staying in a lovely place, and the whole area around there is only fabulous. So enjoy all of that, and well done to you. And that's all we've time for today. Today's producer is Rachel Graham. Researchers are Elizabeth O'Neill and Elaine Carraher. Broadcasting coordinator Jarlath Holland. On sound, Sheila Ní Mhuil. Series producer Anne Farrell. Back with you tomorrow, 11 to 1. Do join us then. Until then, a very good day to you.
The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. Sterling and dollars are commission free at selected post offices. Unpost. Do more.